Welcome to Grim Pickens. My name is Pete Phillips, and I don't speak German. But our storytellers are German. We're, of course, speaking of Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm. And this hasn't really been relevant very much up until this point, for today's story actually has a little bit of German in it. So let me remind you, I don't speak German. And before we get into today's story, I just want to say the following story is written by the Brothers Grimm. And while it's easy to celebrate the collection of folklore that they have compiled over their years, I also want to make it clear that the creators of this program do not endorse ethnic stereotypes. While we may like to poke fun at kings and princesses, our goal is to share stories with respect. We do not support characterizing a group of people in a way that could cause harm. The Good Bargain. There was once a peasant who had driven his cow to the fair and sold her for 7 thalers. On the way home, he had to pass a pond, and already from afar, he heard the frogs crying, "Acht, acht, acht, acht." "Well," he said to himself, "they are talking without rhyme or reason. It is 7 that I have received, not 8. So the sound that I just made back there is supposed to be 8 in German. But like I said, I don't speak German." When he got to the water, he cried to them, "Stupid animals that you are, don't you know better than that? It is 7 thalers and not 8. The frogs, however, stood there. "Ach, ach, ach, ach. Come then, if you won't believe it, I can count it out to you." And he took his money out of his pocket and counted out the 7 thalers, always reckoning 4.20 groschen to a thaler. The frogs, however, paid no attention to his reckoning, but still cried, "Ach, ach, ach, ach." "What?" cried the peasant, quite angry. "Since you are determined to know better than I, count it yourselves," and threw all the money into the water to them. He stood still and wanted to wait until they were done, and had brought him his own again. But the frogs maintained their opinion and cried continually, "Ach, ach, ach, ach," and besides that, did not throw the money out again. He still waited a long while until evening came on and he was forced to go home. Then he abused the frogs and cried, "You water splashers, you thick heads, you goggle eyes. You have great mouths and can screech till you hurt one's ears, but you cannot count 7 thalers. Do you think I'm going to stand here till you get done?" And with that he went away. But the frogs still cried, "Ach, ach, ach, ach," after him, till he went home quite angry. After a while he bought another cow, which he killed, and he made the calculation that if he sold the meat well, he might gain as much as 2 cows were worth, and have the skin into the bargain. When, therefore, he got to town with the meat, the great troop of dogs were gathered in front of the gate, with a large greyhound at the head of them, which jumped at the meat, snuffed it, and barked, "Wow, wow, wow." As there was no stopping him, the peasant said to him, "Yes, yes, I know quite well that thou art saying, wow, 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 because you wantest some of the meat, but I should fare badly if I were to give it to thee." The dog, however, answered nothing but, "Wow, wow." "Wilt thou promise not to devour it all then? And willst thou go bail for thy companions?" "Wow, wow, wow," said the dog. "Well, if thou insistest on it, I will leave it for thee. I know thee well and know who is thy master, but this I tell thee. I must have my money in 3 days, or else it will go ill with thee. Thou must just bring it out to me." Thereupon he unloaded the meat and turned back again. The dogs fell upon it and loudly barked, "Wow, wow." The countryman, who heard from afar, said to himself, "Hark, now they all want some, but the big one is responsible to me for it." When 3 days had passed, the countryman thought, "Tonight my money will be in my pocket," and was quite delighted. But no one would come and pay it. "There is no trusting anyone now," said he, and at last he lost patience, and went into the town to the butcher and demanded his money. The butcher thought it was a joke, but the peasant said, "Jesting apart, I will have my money. Did not the great dog bring you the whole of the slaughtered cow 3 days ago?" Then the butcher grew angry, snatched a broomstick, and drove him out. "Wait a while," said the peasant. "There is still some justice in the world," and went to the royal palace and begged for an audience. He was led before the king, who sat there with his daughter, and asked him what injury he had suffered. "Alas," he said, "the frogs and the dogs have taken from me what is mine. The butcher has paid me for it with the stick." And he related at full length all that had happened. Thereupon the king's daughter began to laugh heartily, and the king said to him, "I cannot give you justice in this, but you shall have my daughter to wife for it."
What?
"In her whole life she has never yet laughed as she has just done at thee, and I have promised her to him who could make her laugh. Thou mayest thank God for thy good fortune." "Oh," answered the peasant, "I will not have her. I have a wife already, and she is one too many for me. When I go home, it is just as bad as if I had a wife standing in every corner." Then the king grew angry and said, "Thou art a boor." "Ah, Lord King," replied the peasant, "what can you expect from an ox but beef?" "Stop," answered the king, "thou shalt have another reward. Be off now, but come back in 3 days, and then thou shalt have 500 counted out in full." When the peasant went back to the gate, the sentry said, "Thou hast made the king's daughter laugh, so thou wilt certainly receive something good." "Yes, that is what I think," answered the peasant. 500 are to be counted out to me." "Hark thee," said the soldier, "give me some of it. What canst thou do with all that money?" "As it is thou," said the peasant, "thou shalt have 200. Present thyself in 3 days' time before the king, and let it be paid to thee." A Jew, who was standing by and heard the conversation, ran after the peasant, held him by the coat, and said, "Oh, wonder, what a luck child thou art! I will change it for thee. I will change it for thee into small coins. What dost thou want with the great thalers?" "Jew," said the countryman, 300 canst thou still have. Give it to me at once in coin. In 3 days from this, thou wilt be paid for it by the king." The Jew was delighted with the profit, and brought the sum in bad groschen, 3 of which were worth 2 good ones. After 3 days had passed, according to the king's command, the peasant went before the king. "Pull his coat off," said the latter, "and he shall have 500. "Ah," said the peasant, "they no longer belong to me. I have presented 200 of them to the sentinel and 300 to the Jew who changed for me. So by right, nothing at all belongs to me." In the meantime, the soldier and the Jew entered and claimed what they had gained from the peasant, and they received the blows strictly counted out. The soldier bore it patiently and knew already how it tasted. But the Jew said sorrowfully, "Alas, alas, are these the heavy thalers?" The king could not help laughing at the peasant, as all his anger was gone. He said, "As thou hast already lost thy reward before it fell to thy, I will give thee something in place of it. Go into my treasure chamber and get some money for thyself, as much as thou wilt." The peasant did not need to be told twice, and stuffed into his big pockets whatsoever would go in. Afterwards he went to an inn and counted his money. The Jew had crept after him, and heard how he muttered to himself, "That rogue kind of king has cheated me after all. Why would he not give me the money himself? And then I should have known what I had. How can I tell now if what I have had the luck to put in my pockets is right or not?" "Good heavens," said the Jew to himself, "that man is speaking disrespectfully of our lord king, and I will run and inform, and then I shall get a reward, and he will be punished as well." When the king heard of the peasant's words, he fell into a passion and commanded the Jew to go and bring the offender to him. The Jew ran to the peasant. "You are to go at once to the Lord King in the very clothes you have on." "I know what's right better than that," answered the peasant. "I shall have a new coat made first. Dost thou think that a man with so much money in his pocket is to go there in this ragged old coat?" The Jew, as he saw that the peasant would not stir without another coat, and as he feared that if the king's anger cooled, he himself would lose the reward, and the peasant his punishment, said, "I will, out of pure friendship, lend thee a coat for a short time. What will people not do for love?" The peasant was contented with this, put on the Jew's coat, and went off with him. The king reproached the countryman because of the evil speaking of which the Jew had informed him. "Ah," said the peasant, "what a Jew says is always false. No true word ever comes out of his mouth. That rascal there is capable of maintaining that I have his coat on." "What is that?" shrieked the Jew. "Is the coat not mine? Have I not lent it to thee out of pure friendship in order that thou might appear before the Lord King?" When the king heard that, he said, "The Jew has assuredly deceived one or the other of us, either myself or the peasant. and again he ordered something to be counted out to him in hard thalers. The peasant, however, went home in the good coat with the money in his pocket and said to himself, "This time I have it." Well, as we're moving through these stories, I think that we've found the first one that I'm not a big fan of. Our main character really seems very dumb and, in the end, irredeemable. Being that the story is called The Good Bargain, I can't quite tell what the good bargain is. It seems like the peasant went through so many bad bargains that even the last one wasn't good enough. In the end, even though he gets to keep the coat, it says that the king ordered something to be counted out to him in hard thalers, and we don't know how much. So, even though the ending might seem like a good bargain, we don't have any concrete evidence that it is. Lastly, and perhaps most importantly, is the role of the Jew. Apparently, there are at least three fairy tales by the Brothers Grimm that have Jews as central characters. And in a paper by Martha B. Helfer, she argues that the surface anti-Semitism of the texts is reinforced by a series of rhetorical gestures that derive from an Enlightenment paradigm. Essentially, during this time of the Enlightenment, the troping of Jewish characters is programmatic and political in nature. At the time, there was a debate about Jews' legal and civil status in Germany. And, as she says, these tales present a moral exemplar in which the Enlightenment becomes synonymous with anti-Semitism. The conclusion she draws being that to be enlightened is to be anti-Semitic. That is to say that casting this character as a Jew or anyone of any ethnic background and having them participate in such deceitful actions within the story does paint that people in a negative way. And so, as your host, I'm sitting here wondering if I should change Jew to something else in future readings of stories. Like I said, this is the first time I'm reading some of these, and I want to remain true to the text. So perhaps a disclaimer will have to do. And since I can't find a message in the story today of a man dimly falling into and losing and falling into and losing and then falling into money, perhaps the lesson we can leave this episode with is generalizing anything about any population can be very dangerous to the people who are hearing your words or consuming your work. So please, write responsibly. Grim Pickens is hosted and produced by me, Pete Phillips. We have some musical flourishes by Gregor Quendel via Pixabay, and for now, a theme song made by AI. Grim Pickens is part of the Y'all Heard podcast family. You can rate and subscribe in your podcast player of choice to get more bite-sized stories by The Brothers Grimm.